We like to put a little bit of reason behind the songs that we pick. If you're listening to the shows on a regular basis, you know we've been having anglers in here, and we're talking about their life stories, and we kind of start out with their song that they weigh in on. And this is a record year by Eric Church. And the reason I picked that is because I'm definitely not having a record year at Fantasy Fishing. Isn't that deep? That's deep. Hey,
but you know, we set a lot of records at the Classic, so it's important to, it's good music for that.
You know what? You're right. We did sell a lot of records. Hey, you're listening to Inside Bassmaster. We've been talking with anglers here, getting their life stories, the profiles, and we also talk a lot of fantasy fishing, and that's what we're up to again today. We're talking about Classic Recap, and we're going to look at Sabine. It's going to be here very soon, so yeah, we're excited about that. Let's dig right in. In fact, Coy is with us on the phone, and Coy is one of our... He's the scientist of the group, I would say. I think most of us kind of pick on gut, and Coy has reason behind what he does. Yet, however, this last time it didn't quite work out as you had planned. Coy, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, glad to be here, guys.
So let's dig right in. Now, in the past we've had all the pundits on, and we're gonna kind of go a different route this time. In fact, going forward, just to have clarity in conversation, we're gonna do one pundit at a time. And that gives us an opportunity to make fun of them while they're not here. So before we get into my picks at the Classic, let's talk about Ronnie Moore's pick at the Classic. In fact, he did pretty well, is maintaining a strong upper 80%, I guess, overall ranking in the points. He's doing well. But his selections, and this is interesting, Skeet, you're going to – Skeet, Coy. You're going to laugh at this. I didn't mean that.
Hey, call me Skeet all day long. That's fine with me.
Ronnie's A bucket was Jason Christie. Good selection. B was Skeet Reese. That was a tough choice, as we found out. Keith Combs was in C. Brandon Lester in D. Marty Giddens in E. Now, some of those didn't finish that well, yet he had a strong showing because of Jason Christie. Mm-hmm. So Ronnie earned 1,106 points, and that's pretty good, even though Skeet finished in dead last. Keith Combs managed a 40th position finish, and Marty Giddens finished in 48. So that's tough, but he still did all right, having picked Brandon Lester and Jason Christie. So not bad, Ronnie Moore. And if you care to follow along, and we do mention this from time to time, but our fantasy pundit group right now is being led by Pete Robbins. He had a great tournament, scored 1,235 points.
Boy, that's a good team.
That's strong. It's strong. We'll go into his picks here shortly, but Ronnie Moore in second place. I've moved up into third over Coy due to a tough showing with Coy and Jim. You're bringing up the caboose. You had a good tournament, but...
You know, I for the Classic, I came in third, by the way.
That's right. Overall, so as a group?
I beat Ronnie and I beat Coy, so...
But you're still behind me.
I just want that noted.
it is what it is. Hey, Coy, I'm going to start with you, as Jim is still finishing up some of his statistics. Let's talk about your selections, why you picked them, and how they did in the Classic. Ready, go.
Man, I had a lot of... You call me the scientist. I don't know if I deserve that, because I mean, maybe mad scientists, I don't really know, but I based all of my picks on kind of classic history and not really basing it off of a technique. I found out really quick at the first tournament of the year that if I don't understand really what's going on at the actual venue at the lake as far as techniques and water temperature and all that, it's hard for me to make predictions on who's going to do well. So I went with more of a just statistical, historical, solid showings at classics in general. And so all of my guys are big name classic guys, except for Buckety. He's the only one who was not somebody who's just slammed classics in the past. And I thought for sure that I was going to be coming into this podcast be able to say, you know, good try, guys. Really proud of your effort, but I stomped you. But it's the exact opposite.
Pride cometh before the fall, or something like that.
Man, it sure did. Absolutely, I fell way down, and I'm still in fourth place in our group, fourth out of five. that's not good. So I'm surprised. I actually had 840 points after the first day. I was really, really hurting. And ended up with 10:51. So I'm surprised. I didn't know that until 10 minutes ago when we started pulling all this stuff up, that I even broke the four digit mark. So did that, felt pretty good about that. But you know, you and I were talking before we got on the podcast that it seems like so many people picked really, really well for this event.
Yes.
And really overall in fantasy fishing, this is the one event where you got to score high. There's only 52 guys in the whole thing. So the worst you can do is 52nd place, and the points associated with that are pretty high. So you really need to have all those guys in the top 20 to really have a good showing. 13, 1350, you know, that's a good score for the classic in fantasy fishing. But anyway, to my picks, kind of to that end, I think Mike Iaconelli, who's had good showings there, second place, I think, well, maybe not second place, but really well done at Hartwell in the past. Skeet Reese, who always seems to show up at classics. Randy Howell, of course, another big classic name. Cliff Pace, now he has a second at Hartwell for sure, and he's got a classic win on Grand Lake when it was clear and fishing docks and deep rocks. So thought for sure he was a shoo-in, and actually he was my best finisher in 16th place. So I feel okay about that. And then Jamie Hartman in E started strong and fell to 30th place by the end. It was just a tournament where, you know, a couple ounces or a pound makes such a massive difference. And, you know, I wasn't actually real excited the first day or the second day. Or I just assume it's all going to change by the end of the week. I could either be doing really well or really bad. I've seen Skeet come out from a bad day and catch 25 pounds or something dumb and get back in it. So that didn't happen, and I'm sitting in 61st percentile here. Overall, not great. So,
well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm not that sorry to hear that, but I do understand that you got to have some bad showings. But here's the thing, Koi. You broke the four-digit mark, and if you're going to bomb, that's not a bad way to bomb. It's better than, I think Ronnie last year had like a 700 and something.
Right.
So that was
right. Yeah, that's
real tough.
That's a tough one.
So anyway.
I've had plenty of those. I think I've had one that was sub 700 before. So, I've felt those before just the same. So I just, you know, what I've noticed is if you can consistently get those 1,000, 1,100 point deals overall by the end of the season, you'll be doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have those 700-800 point tournaments to end up in the top 10%.
Right, right. Well, I was going to go through some of the numbers that I crunched here earlier today regarding the perfect team, and I'm just glancing at some things, and there's some inconsistencies, and I'm a word guy, not a numbers guy, so I'm going to go back in and add some things up. But according to our fantasy fishing database, the fantasy classic winner was Hammerjack Mike, who scored 1,448 points. That included Jason Christie in A.
Wow.
B was Jordan Lee. C was Matt Lee. D, Mark Daniels Jr. in bucket E, Brandon Coulter. So there's some big names there, strong showings.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to, like I said, I'm going to go back and double check the perfect team because that's not adding up with what I have listed. And I just added everything up again on a calculator, so something's goofed up. I'm going to fix that. But hey, doesn't matter. I'm going to buzz through my picks here because they're really not that impressive. I had a better tournament overall, but I'm looking forward to climbing back into the upper 10 percentile. I'm not far from it. I need to do well at Sabine. But bucket A, I picked Aaron Martins. He finished in ninth place. That's a pretty good showing. Bucket B was my bomb of the week. Greg Hackney finished in 35th, which is really overall not a terrible showing. But if you're looking at percentage and placement, that's down there a ways. James Elam was my pick to win, and by golly, he almost did.
Yeah, you did well.
He finished in 11th. Kind of stumbled a little bit the last day, but did well overall. And D was another dark horse. Clifford Perch finished 13th, which ironically, when we were at Hartwell in 2015, Clifford Perch finished in 13th also.
No kidding.
Yep, so he's got a consistent finish. And I kind of thought a shoe-in for moving up the leaderboard would have been Jamie Hartman in bucket E, and he finished 30th. So overall, I think I did pretty well, but not well enough to build on my last tournament's points. So,
what were your total points?
I had 1192.
That's not bad.
Yours?
1148.
What was yours, Koi?
1051.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the two guys that are not with us today are the ones that beat us. Well, actually, that's not two. Ronnie Moore had 1106. So yeah, that's right. But that puts Pete in the lead.
That's never good.
Yeah. Anyway, well, Pete Robbins is the weekly winner in our pundit group. So it was an exciting tournament. Jim, we broke all kinds of records. Our overall attendance record shattered.
Yep.
Website numbers shattered.
Right.
People are into fishing right now. And
that's right.
Look, we can contribute or attribute some of that to fantasy fishing.
That's right. We're getting a lot of younger folks playing fantasy fishing and attending the expo and coming to the weigh-in. It was a great tournament.
Very exciting. It was fun to watch Jordan Lee win a second back-to-back title. And in fact, it's not new news, but he is the third angler in history to win back-to-back classics. And I'm pretty sure he's younger than those guys were when they won theirs.
I think so too. I'm sure he was.
Pretty interesting. Let's move on to Sabine. That's the bulk of our discussion here.
I got to tell you my team here now.
Wait, Jim.
It's just quick, but just let me get it in there.
Yeah, all right.
In fact, I have a sneaking suspicion that Ronnie Moore actively tried to throw me off base with some sketchy information. And it is on practice day, the official practice day, which was Wednesday. Mike Iaconelli had a great practice day.
And he did, and Ronnie Moore wrote all about that all day long.
Yeah, and I witnessed a little bit of it, out there blogging. And there was a moment where Mike caught a really nice fish and put down his rod and ran back and hugged Ronnie. It was an epic moment. Ronnie has so much clothes on that we didn't know it was him. But anyway, based on Ronnie's blog posts and photos, I had a last minute change and I put Iaconelli in my bucket A, and he finished 38th.
Ouch.
So great practice, not a great tournament for him.
And Bobby Lane.
Same thing, Bobby Lane.
Did you have him selected?
No, I didn't.
You see,
no.
I'm glad I didn't. But think about that. I mean, he did so well at the previous two classics.
I wanted to pick him. I if you remember, I went into this one with this highfalutin title of the Poetic Justice League.
Yes.
That I was picking guys that deserved it. And I guess you could say that I spun out the day before the tournament and rethought that whole thing. So I only have one of my five Poetic Justice League guys that I kept, which was Hank Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like he deserved it. He's come in second in the Classic. I think it was the first Tulsa Classic. And had Hank in Bucket D. He finished 33rd. So, that's all right. But a couple of the guys I replaced my Poetic Justice League players with, Ott Defoe, he finished sixth.
Mm-hmm.
It was my a good pick. And then I had Matt Lee, who finished fourth. So those were I only had two guys fishing on Sunday, but they finished fourth and sixth, which was pretty good. My Bucket E guy, I remembered that Marty Giddens had won the co-angler spot on Hartwell. And I think he's the oldest guy in the field. I'm sure of it, actually. I looked at the ages. And he is just a cool customer in that I don't think anything ruffles him.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't smile a lot. He's got his game face on. And so I thought, he's just kind of coming in here, and he's not going to mess around. He's just going to fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he finished 48th. So I kind of wish I'd taken Jacob Fouts as an emotional choice. Jacob Fouts is the college winner.
He did all right.
He did finished in the 30s, I think, and had a limit both days, which, as a 19-year-old coming in and fishing against the best of the world, filling two limits is a pretty good tournament.
Yeah. And that's definitely not happened in the past several times.
Exactly.
So good for him.
So that's my team. I'm very proud to beat Coy, and Ronnie, for that matter. And I'm really close to Thomas. It's a little.
The only one separating themselves from us right now is Pete Robbins. So
that's right.
We got to figure out a way to keep him grounded because we won't hear the end of it.
That's right.
So, Pete, you're not here, not listening, but we're coming after you.
He'll come down to earth. I think Sabine might separate the men from the boys.
There's a 290-point difference between you, Jim, and Pete Robbins right now. So it's not unachievable. We can do it. So that may be the goal of all of us moving forward is just let's take Pete down.
Mm-hmm. Bring him down to earth.
Well,
yep.
Anyway, let's talk Sabine. This is traditionally a very tough fishery. It really challenges the bulk of the field. There will be zeros. There will be selections made across fantasy fishing discussions and networks that unfortunately are going to get zeros because this is a tough fishery. And in fact, it's even tougher this year because we have only the Texas side. And that's going to eliminate some of the water and previous game plans. I think it's going to be very exciting. Now, as far as the spectators concerned, we love a tight tournament. We know the weights aren't going to be real high, and that really provides a lot of competition. It's exciting to watch. And you're going to see some anglers that don't typically struggle in an event to survive a tournament. They may struggle and lose some angler of the year points. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there's going to be a lot of people doing their best to weigh a limit of fish. Regardless of the size, I think we're looking at a 14-inch minimum. There has been discussion. Coy, you brought this up. You may have heard somewhere they're talking about implementing 12-inch minimum on the Texas side. We don't know at this point how that's going to play out, but it is going to be a difficult body of water to fish, especially when it's cut in half. So, Jim, can you tell me for sure, are they able to travel south and cross Galveston Bay?
I don't know that.
Last time they did.
They did last time. It was an important part.
McClellan.
Mike McClellan did that and finished second. Had a strong tournament, despite, spending 4 hours a day.
Right.
Running.
So there may be some of that.
Yeah.
Which is high risk. Sometimes that pays out reward.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. Ronnie, wish you were here, my friend. Unfortunately, Ronnie is busy today. I know he's super busy working on post-classic material, so we're gonna skip him. If you want to check his stuff out, now here's the thing. As we're building into the fantasy content, you can see Ronnie's story, Coy's story, Pete's story, my story, and of course you'll hear about Jim today, and Ronnie's picks will be posted in coming days. So we're gonna just mention real quick who Pete has taken. We're going to get him off the table. Again, Pete is leading, so if I can get a chance to make fun of him right here and bring him down a notch, I will. But he's got actually a pretty good list. In Bucket A, he has Todd Faircloth, who won the event. Was it 2013? So that's a pretty solid choice. Todd's been quiet. He usually wins once every other year. If you look at his record, he's due. This is his home state. He knows the body of water. He might do well. Bucket B, Iaconelli, looking for a comeback after the Classic. That's a pretty interesting pick. I could see that happening. Here's another one. Now, we always talk about Pete Robbins and his relationship with Steve Kennedy. Steve Kennedy gives him a hard time when he doesn't pick him, and it seems like when Pete chooses Kennedy, Kennedy doesn't do that well. This time he's going on the opposite. He's going to pick Steve Kennedy in bucket C. So, Steve, when you're listening to this, just know that Pete has your back in this one, and look forward to reading about that when he has a story produced. Bucket D, Bill Lowen. That's a pretty interesting pick. This has kind of got his style of fishing written all over.
That's in D?
Yep, bucket D.
Okay.
Bucket E, Keith Combs. That's interesting, too. This could kind of set up to him. Texas water. I know he does like to flip. Who knows how else they're going to do it there. It's interesting. So that's Pete Robbins' selections for Sabine River. Coy, you have yours handy, or you want me to go through mine while we're waiting?
I've got it ready to go.
It's all you, brother. Take it over. What you got?
You know, I have a little bit of digging that I was able to do, a little bit of research. Bass Champs is a trail out here in Texas, one of the biggest in Texas, and often they fish the Sabine River as their championship. And so I was able to kind of look back at some of the tournaments and some of the results and stuff. And it's a different part of the year, mind you. But it's kind of interesting to see that there's more to it than just flipping in canals. You know, that's what Chris Lane did. And, you know, some of the top guys, Aaron Martin, Shaw Grigsby in 2015, they were all in that area flipping that canal and just catching spawning fish. And then there was 2013, Todd Faircloth was winging a little swim bait out in the middle of a big bay. And, you know, Dean and Alton Jones, that historical headbutt clash thing that happened there, you know, they were flipping and throwing a square bill for spawning fish as well in kind of muddy water. And, you know, there's going to be some of that. Absolutely. Those tournaments were in March. And this one's going to be the beginning of April. So my guess is that they're going to be a little bit more towards the post spawn down there in that shallow, muddy water. It's already warm, probably water in the the mid-60s right now. My guess is they're going to be spawning now. They're going to have some spawning fish in April, but there's going to be some post-spawn as well. So there are some jetties and some rock areas out there that might show with like a crankbait. I have guys in mind like Takahiro, who won the first term of the year, throwing square bills on points. I think that kind of thing could come into play here. So anyway, I'll dive in. I got lots of information. I'll try to narrow it down as best I can. But I feel like it's going to be a different tournament this year. You know, 2013, 2015, when I made my picks in 2015, I actually based a lot of my picks on what happened in 2013, and it was completely different. You didn't hear about the same areas. You didn't hear about the same guys. Some of the same guys did well. It wasn't the guys that won it. I mean, Chris Lane did not have a good showing in 2013, and he won it in 2015. Aaron Martins had 88th place in 2013. Mm. He came in, whatever that was, and I think second or third.
Third
place in 2015. So it's my gut is telling me that it's going to be there's going to be a few guys that are consistent, but you're going to see a bunch of new names up at the top. Now, also something to keep in mind, this is, again, probably more information than we need, but there was another major flood last year in the Houston area. And that same thing happened, I think, in 2012 with Louisiana. And it blew out all that water, and those fish had one. It was 2011 or 2012. I can't remember when it was. But when the levees broke and all that water happened down there, it flooded all that. And that's why you had such a population of 10 to 12 inch bass. There were so many of them in there, and they had just spawned. They were just that point. They weren't quite big enough. Now we had another flood. It wasn't quite as bad as in that part of the state as it was in Louisiana back before the first flood. But my guess is there's going to be a lot of that same kind of stuff. A lot of areas that got flooded and rich spawns, but there's not, you know, there's going to be a lot of fish in there, but they're not going to be very big. It did not blow out the Sabine River in the same way that it did the first time, I don't think. And so some of the fish that were there in the 2013 and 2015 tournaments, they might actually be there, maybe even a little bigger. I don't know. Mm. My guess, my gut is that there's going to be a pretty good population of two-pounders. Not great. I mean, it's the Sabine River. It's not known for having big fish. But in 2015, if you remember, Terry Scroggins got one almost seven.
Yeah.
They're in there. So anyhow, my bucket A, I actually am going to agree with Pete here. I'm right now I'm going with Todd Faircloth, first place in 2013, ninth place in 2015. A couple other guys to consider. Takahiro, like I said, he did not do well in 2015, I don't think. He had 75th in one of those two, but he's got some momentum right now, coming off the first term of the year. And that guy, he lives on momentum, it seems like. It's when he gets on a roll, he's that guy that you want on your roster every single time. And when he's not, doesn't have any momentum at all, you stay far away from him because he'll hurt your feelings even when he's even when he's supposed to do well. So another guy to consider. And I'm kind of bouncing back and forth here. Dean Rojas. He's got his head back on straight, and I think he's going to have a good season this year. And post spawn, even spawn, frogs and more frogs. I think you're going to see a lot of frog fishing in this tournament. Second place in 2013, 19th in 2015. So good finishes there. We'll try to blow through the rest of these. Bucket B, Aaron Martins is a guy that I've got my eye on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, 88th in 2013, but he figured some stuff out and got third in 2015. And golly, he just knows how to catch fish in tough tournaments. He's, he can put that shaky head or drop shot or whatever, some kind of finesse bait in his hand. He was throwing a quarter ounce spinner bait in 2015. I can't even imagine throwing a quarter ounce spinner bait. That seems like a, I don't know, it's just not something that I have any confidence in, but he was able to go out there and catch a bunch of numbers, which is great. Jason Christie, man, he has got, I don't remember what his percentage ownership right now. It's 24%.
Yeah, it's strong.
That guy has terrible history on the Sabine River. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that out loud. I should tell everybody, go pick Jason Christie That's a great thing to do. Just talk him up. But he's got an awful history, like two finishes in the 70s or 60s. And so, you know, they can have him.
He does have a lot but he's angry, Coy. He's really angry right now.
And that's exactly right. The note that I put on here. I said he's got a lot of hate for those green fish right now because he got his rear end hurt on that last day out there. Four fish for 6 pounds?
Right. One more fish, Jim, and he would have won the Classic.
No, he was just a little over a pound behind.
A 14-inch fish probably is going to weigh a pound, pound and a quarter.
That's right.
Painful.
Just kicking himself for a long, long time. It's going to be hard to get past that.
I would watch him to do well this year.
I would, too.
He does well every year.
Such a competitor.
I don't feel right about picking Christy. I just made a note because he's got such high ownership. Maybe I'm missing out on something. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Iaconelli is not a bad pick, I don't think. If you remember in 2013, when he got 83rd place, it's because he wrecked his boat.
Yeah.
He ran it up on the bank.
I do remember that.
Backwaters. So he got 30th in 2015. So, I don't think that's a bad pick,
Pete. Well, it fits his style, right? I mean, he's a river
tidal
guy.
Water, mm-hmm. River sure guy, does. Shallow water, jig, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tidal, current, a little bit of tidal movement there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Could just be just like the Delaware River, right. Philadelphia River.
Yep, Delaware.
Up there in Philly. Mm. And the guy that I'm going with in B though is Terry Scroggins. Right now, I can't get off him. Terry Scroggins has a third and a 26th, and he has the big bass, I think, in both tournaments. So he definitely had the 16 in 2015. I think it was like a 5-4 or something like that in 2013. So Scroggins, and you think about that 40-point bonus. If I had an extra 40 points in this last tournament, I would have been right up there with you guys. So that would have been nice. So if he gets that big bass – or big bag of the tournament, that could go a long way. So bucket C, I can't land on anybody here. Mike McClellan is a guy that comes to mind. Got a second place and an 11th place. He's traveling 115 miles each way to go to his spot. And if they can go across there, there's a lot of unexplored water out there. And, you know, he actually fished the same canal both times because he made mention in 2015 that last time he was in there in 2013, there was a bunch of palm fronds everywhere that they were spawning underneath. So he knows those canals well, and there's a chance he goes back there if they're allowed to. But who I have right now is John Cruz. He's got a 6th place and a 26th place, and it fits his style. The guy likes frogging. He likes shallow flipping. I feel really good about that. I don't know if I'm gonna change him up to Mike McClellan or not. But for now, I like John Cruz. A couple other names, just throw in the hat. Chris Lane, of course, he won there. He doesn't have any momentum right now, so I'm not sure that I can jump on board with him until he proves that he's kind of got his head back in the game. So, and then Brandon Lester had a 4th in 2015. Loves to frog fish, so just something to consider. Mm. Bucket D, Stephen Browning. I'm thinking River Rats. I don't even know how I missed Bill Lowen in this bucket. Didn't even consider him. But Stephen Browning, Dave Lefebvre, those guys are both shallow water grass flipping guys. But the guy I'm going with is Gerald Swindle.
Also likes his shallow, dirty water.
Mm-hmm.
He sure does. And he likes those little, small crankbaits that I think could play here. Did really well. What was that tournament? He was throwing the little zoom crankbait. I can't remember what tournament it was. It was it was a retread area. I don't know. I can't remember which one it was. A couple of years ago, anyhow. But I feel really good about him. 10th at the Classic. He was 24th in 2015. There in Emma Sabine. So I feel good about that one. I'm kind of trying to aim at guys that are going to cash a check.
Right.
You know, guys that are going to do in the mid 20s, 30s. That's going to give me a lot of points. And if you notice, and y'all will probably bring this up, but Bucket D is stacked.
Yes.
KBD is in Bucket D. What? Mm-hmm.
Jordan Lee, Brandon Palahniuk. Yeah.
Like, I don't even know This has got to be the most stacked bucket.
Yeah, Matt Heron's in there. I mean, this tournament has Matt Heron written all over it also.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Jeff Crete, even. I mean, there's so many guys in that bucket that could do well.
That's a good observation, Coy. This is a very tough bucket, and I've gone through it a few times. I have my selection. I think I'm going to stick by it. But you're right. Top to bottom, there are guys that have done well here. Scott Rook has done well at this river. So when was that?
Sure has.
Eighth place in 2015. Yep.
Yeah. Yep, he did great out there. And there's just so many guys to choose from. I'm trying to just narrow it down to a couple for now. But who knows? I could bounce around 10 times. But I'm going to stick with Swindle almost certainly moving into this because
he's got a little high ownership for you, though.
I know he does, but I'm in the 61st percentile. Oh. So ownership is important, and really it's more important the later you get in the season.
Fair.
But if you got to score a lot of points, I've just got to go with someone who's going to score a lot of points right
wisdom,
now.
You go with the wisdom of the crowd.
And that has proven to work. Last year I started doing that a little bit, and it really helped me get up to my 90%. So, anyhow, early in the season, the percentage ownership is important, but it's not as critical because you don't have enough numbers to throw to get your. I mean, there's a lot of math involved, but there's not enough data. There's not enough data yet to justify trying to inch up a little bit. I got to jump miles, not inches.
You can tell he's holding back the Great House Mad Scientist. He's doing the best he can. It's in there, and it's wanting to come out.
One of these days. I think I've tried to explain the ownership like 5 times, and I can't seem to put it in words. I'm going to write it out one of these days.
You should. And the thing worth mentioning is it really is more of a theory than fact. There's fact in there. There's facts inside of the numbers. But as he said, as he's proven to us, sometimes if you're down the list of ways, you're down in points, you need to earn some points back.
Yeah.
And the wisdom in the crowd is the way to do that.
We should should have Brett Baker on here sometime. Brett Baker's the back-end systems guy. For our fantasy fishing. It'd be pretty interesting to hear him explain it.
Yeah, well, it beats some inside information.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bucket
Absolutely.
E.
Absolutely. Bucket E, okay, real quick here. Jacob Wheeler, coming off momentum from the Classic. He's a grass guy. I think he can do well here. There's so much space out here. It's going to take one of those guys that just can instinctually go and find the bass. He might be that guy.
Golly,
so,
Bucket E is stacked, too, if you want to get down to it.
Yeah, I have 5 names in this one. I'm gonna try to tell you 3 of them here and then move on. Shaw Grigsby, got a 7th and a 37th last 2 times we were here. Both good finishes. Shallow flipping spawn kind of guy. You know, he could do very well. I'm going with Ish Monroe, at least for now. The guy is a mad frogging guy, and he didn't make the Classic, so that hurts when those guys don't make the Classic. That next tournament after the Classic, when you've had to sit at the Expo and talk to fans, that's fine and fun and everything, but every one of those guys was hurting to be out there fishing the Classic. And so I guarantee Ish is one of those guys that is ready to get out there and hit the water. He did not do great in 2015, but he had a solid finish. I think 8th place or something. It was top 10 for sure in 2013. And I feel like that frog's going to play. I'm kind of going against logic and going more because I guess I'm in Texas, so I have a general idea what the water is going to be like. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I can pick those specialists in this tournament. So 2 more names, Keith Poche, Randall Tharp. Okay, I got to be done because I've talked for a long time.
Yeah, the Keith Poche is interesting. I was kind of looking forward to hearing about that, or I was going to say something if you didn't, but he finished 11th in 2015 and 29th in 2013. So he's kind of a swamp guy.
Yeah, he grew up in Louisiana.
Yeah, it kind of fits to his name. And let's be honest, there is the dew factor. Keith Poche is generally pretty quiet. This would be a great tournament to put his name on the map, and I know he knows that.
Yeah, it would.
What about you, Jim? You got everything lined up?
Well, I do. I got to give this some more thought. Today's the first day I've really thought about this tournament and who's going to line up and do well here. And like everybody else, you know, in Bucket A, I look at Todd Faircloth and think about how well he's done there. I also think about Dean Rojas. I have strong memories of that 2013 tournament. I was, you know, I'm using in air quotes on the water that tournament, but back in those canals and bayous, it was easier to drive to people's locations. So myself and a couple other guys drove back to a trailer park, and that's where that canal was that Dean Rojas and Alton Jones Sr. were battling it out, you know, both a little unhappy that the other guy was back there. And so I was back there literally for 3 days. Yeah, I'm close friends with a lot of the people in that trailer park now. it was fun. But anyway, I like Faircloth. I like Rojas in that bucket. In bucket B, I feel like Greg Hackney is kind of his time. He had a just okay classic, and I think he'll come out, you know, swinging. Feel like this tournament plays well for him, so I like him in B. Bucket C. Well, I'm looking at history again and seeing Chris Lane in this bucket. Boy, Chris had a strong tournament. Did he lead that thing wire to wire?
No.
Okay.
I think only fourth day, actually.
Okay.
He came in.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like him in there. I keep thinking it's going to be that time where Chris really, really bounces back and has a big bounce and comes back and his Babe Ruth swings for the fences and has a fantastic tournament. He had a pretty good Martin, if I'm remembering right.
Good
he finished
start.
in the 30s or yep. something like that. So a good start. He's such an intense competitor. I sort of feel like we're going to hit a point where he's going to, you know, he's really going to do great. We'll see if this is the one. I like Mike McClellan in there. The other sort of group that I've paid attention to in this one is Louisiana Anglers, because while this tournament is in Texas officially, it's right practically at the Louisiana border.
And very similar to a lot of the fisheries in Louisiana that they've grown up fishing.
For me, not having spent a ton of time in Texas, that place feels like a Louisiana fishery. With Cypress and all kinds of stuff in there. So anyway, Robbie Latuso is in Bucket C. Gerald Sporer is in Bucket C. Two Louisiana anglers. Those guys are pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at there. And then the same thinking with Bucket D. You guys talked about how stacked Bucket D is, and it really is. There's a lot of hammers in there. This tournament is so hard to pick because, you know, so many of the big names in the sport who are winning tournaments and winning AOYs, it feels like this is a hard tournament for those guys. Although Coy talked about Aaron Martins, you know, finished 85th and then third. So he figured it out.
And Bobby Lane did something very similar.
Second time, Bobby Lane, same thing. I kind of went the opposite way with my early thinking here. Caleb Summerall is the nation champ who's from Louisiana. He fished the Classic. Feel like he's a really good angler. And could see Caleb having a good tournament at this place.
Hmm.
And then in Bucket E, I went with history again, went Alton Sr. for Bucket E. Alton had a great performance there in 2013. Thomas, where did he finish in 15?
2015, Alton Jones. I've been through this. Let's see. Hear the papers rustling as I'm looking for the right answer.
The pages keep turning, which means he's finishing pretty far down.
Yeah, let's see. That page was blank.
So Alton, I think the first year, did Alton finish third? Something like that.
Yeah, I've got him in eighth place in 2013.
Okay.
And I might have missed over him here, but he's certainly Alton Jones, 92nd place.
92nd place.
Yes.
Not a second place. Okay.
No,
well, all right. Then that's a little different. I may rethink Alton, but he had a strong tournament the first time we went there. Another guy on the Louisiana front, Tyler Carrier, is, you know, fishing this one as well. So I kind of like him there. So those are my early thoughts on fantasy. This is I think this is a hard one, and there's a lot of guys who are shallow water, dirty water fishermen that this may play to. And so that feels like, you know, definitely a factor.
That's not bad. I like that. And as we like to say, we reserve the right to go back in and make changes as the tournament gets closer.
That's right.
And we'll admit those mistakes. In fact, we just talked about Jim sliding Ike in during the Classic here.
No, it's like the night of. and I can't remember who I replaced him with, and maybe that's for the best, because if that guy had done well, I'd be really bitter.
I did kind of brag about my selections for the Classic at our last show, and three of them did well. And I think I did call James Elam the winner in that show. We'll have to go back and listen, but I was impressed with that. Aaron Martins did me well. But I've got a good team here for Sabine. This is going to blow your guys' minds, so be ready for this. And Ronnie and Pete, you can take my lead here. So I'm trying to think back when Justin Lucas started. I think it was 2014 was his first year, I believe.
Sounds right.
I didn't see him on the list for the 2013 tournament. So
okay.
2015 was his first trip to the Sabine.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Lucas finished in 10th place.
Wow.
Justin Lucas had a great first tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He missed the Classic. I saw him when I was trying to find a parking place for the final weigh-in at the Classic.
Yeah.
He was standing out front watching the boats pull in to the boatyard where they were bagging their fish. And I asked him, I said, what were you doing? He's like, man, I had to see that. I had to be part of it. So not only he started his year well, he's angry about not being at the Classic. He has experience at Sabine. He's my bucket A choice.
That's and good.
I like a lot of the other names here. James Elam also did well in 2013, finished 17th, but pretty much bombed, got a 70th place in 2015. And he's coming off a good tournament. I don't think that's a bad choice. Obviously, Todd Faircloth, Takahiro, those are good selections. We could go through this list. Andy Montgomery's another one that could do well just on a whim. So bucket A. I'm going to stay away from some of the higher ownership just to kind of be risky and pretend like I know what I'm doing, since Coy told me that stuff.
Uh-oh.
No promises, but hey, there's a lot of good names. Cliff Pace is one we didn't even mention, and he's been, I think I saw his name somewhere here higher up in the standings. Anyways, that would be one to consider. Bucket B. All right, so I have not picked Matt Lee. And I'm ready to pick Matt Lee.
You've never picked Matt Lee?
I don't think I have.
I had him at the Classic, and I kind of made you look bad with that pick, didn't I?
Well, that's fine. You're not the first one to do that in any area of my life. But I'm going to go with Matt Lee in Bucket B. And he stands out to me, got a fair level of ownership right now.
Mm-hmm.
He has been on a tear lately.
Yes, he has.
And early on, I said he's in my top five for AOI. I think that Matt Lee, this could be his year. He was close to the Classic. I think a great way to cap off his season would be an Angler of the Year race. So we'll see about that. I'm sticking with Matt Lee right now. However, there are some very strong contenders in here. I like Greg Hackney. I like Iaconelli. I like Skeet Reese. Now, I've mentioned this. Skeet has been on a tough roll lately, and he's far better than what statistics show. A blank on the first day of the Classic, very uncharacteristic. In fact, he was the obviously the worst pick in fantasy for the Classic, and
oh,
you know,
stop that.
I'm gonna rub that in even more.
I'm just sick to myself thinking about that one. I thought it was gold
and yellow maybe. But say you know it is what it is. But
good point.
Terry Scroggins is a good choice here. I like that. So, however. I'm standing by Matt Lee in this one. I don't expect to change. I think he's going to show up and do well. Bucket C. So Mike McClellan stood out to me. Now, he's taken the biggest risk. If he's able to cross Galveston, I'm not sure what – we'll have to double-check on that, and it'll be definitely in the Sabine preview that we post.
Mm-hmm.
So watch for that. You can find that information there. But he is one of the only ones, I think, that made the top 12 both times. Second place 2015, 11th in 2013. So he is right now getting my vote. He's got 11% ownership. It's all right. Brandon Lester is a great selection, I think. Steve Kennedy, this could play to Steve Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
This makes sense there. I'm with Pete on that. Chris Lane. We've already talked about that. And your other, your Louisiana selections. There's some merit there, so I like that. But right now, Mike McClellan. So the other thing, too, is Edwin Evers. I've seen him on these lists, too, consistently. I'd have to go back through 2015.
Evers got 94th one year and
13th in 2013.
Yeah.
So that plays to your theory, Coy. It's an up and down. And I think this is probably the toughest tournament we'll have to pick all year.
Yeah, I do too.
So I'm going to stick with Mike McClellan. Seems to be tried and true and is a consistent angler. So Bucket D. Yes, yes, yes. Lots to choose from. In fact, it's obvious people are going to pick Kevin Van Dam because you just expect if he's going to be in Bucket D, that's an easy selection for people to just make. You know he's probably going to do well. But I do like Gerald Swindle. I thought long and hard about that. I do like Matt Herron, who is the most, probably one of the most overlooked anglers in the bucket. I think Jeff Creek could be a good selection. Mm-hmm. But I'm going with Bill Lowen. Stephen Browning could be good, coming off that win here recently at the Open. So a lot of good choices here. I think Bill Lowen, this really plays to his advantage, and he has been overdue for a win. He's been quiet last year. I would look for him to do well in this. Now, I'm going to blow your minds in Bucket E. Mark Davis in Bucket E.
That's your pick?
That is a deal.
All right.
Mark Davis finished 9th in 2013. Mark Davis finished 13 in 2015.
Wow, that looks genius.
It looks just like Dardanelle.
Now, you know, what's crazy in Bucket E is seeing the percentage ownership of Jacob Wheeler right now.
Well, he's an easy selection.
43.7.
Right, and let's revisit the fact that these guys are here in these buckets right now only after one tournament of points. As fantasy fishing players, we have two tournaments worth of points that we've collected so far, including the Classic. So
right.
These guys are on the Elite Series Angler of the Year race, and they are placed generally, and I say that loosely, based on AOI points. So I think that obviously this bucket is imbalanced right now. Randall Tharpe, huge selection here, and I would not feel bad about picking him. This has I'd have to go back and look at his finishes.
61st.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew. Not great.
No, but this plays to his strengths. I mean, a frog and a jig, there's not many better.
Without a doubt.
So, hard to say. Tommy Biffle, that you could see him turn up at this one. Again, Shaw Grigsby, been too quiet for far too long. Could play to his advantage. Brandon Card. We could go through this whole list and get
examples.
Hey,
I'll tell you a quick Brandon Card story. So, the first time we were 2013, when we were at Sabine, Brandon Card found a little pond that the only way you could get to it was laying down on the deck of your boat and going through a drainage pipe by hand. And he did it. He laid down. It was so low, he laid down on his back. That was the only way you could get through it, laying flat on the deck of his boat and hand, you know, like you're in the Army, sort of crawling through, you know, underneath a bridge or something. He went, he pulled himself through that thing and got to the other side and caught some nice fish. Where did he finish in 2013?
Oh, Coy, beat me to it if you can.
All right. I'm going to try. Let's
Brandon Carr.
2013?
I've got the papers here, but
I'm on the wrong page here.
And that was early on. Fifth place?
10th place.
10th place, yeah. That was early on when we started putting GoPros on boats, and we had a GoPro on his boat that filmed that little journey of his. The next thing that happened when he was in that little pond, he caught a fish that got hung up underwater around a stick or something. And the video is him putting his head underwater to get that fish unwrapped, and he got it out, and it was a pretty nice fish.
Well, definitely a solid list here. Here's my dark horse in Bucket E. Seth Fighter.
Whoa.
This is going to be – he has proven his largemouth prowess on Ross Barnett at Cayuga. Or no, well, there too, but Champlain last year. And I think that he gets overlooked when you're in a tough – largemouth bite. But as we talked about earlier, Jim, he has become comfortable and consistent. And I think this is the type of tournament he's going to make a check in. He may not win it, but I think you're pretty safe picking him to make a check in. He's done well.
I agree. He's shown himself to be a versatile national angler as opposed to a northern smallmouth guy.
And I attribute a lot of that to his mustache.
Well, without a doubt. I think there's a lot to be said for that. That's taken him to another level.
It has. In fact, there's a little conversation going on Facebook where they were, you know, what they were comparing it to. And really, it reminds me of a tow tector. You know, the little deals that hang off the back of your truck to.
Yes.
In other words, you're keeping gravel out of your grill.
Right.
Right? And so he is focused.
Oh, yeah. He's.
You see where I'm going with this?
Uh-huh. I like where you're headed. You're going to pick him because of that.
No, I love Seth. We're Minnesota kin, or brethren. I'm not related to Seth, obviously. He's got the looks on that side of things. But I think I'm going to stick with Mark Davis. But I will say my dark horse selection, getting choked up here just thinking about it. My dark horse will be Seth Fighter in this one. I think a bladed jig will play. He's very good with that thing. He can throw a frog with the best of them. I know the lake where he cut his teeth, Minnetonka. That is a grass lake. That is a shallow bass fishing lake, and he will do well there. Mark my words.
Well, the thing about the Sabine, though, is it's not really a grass lake.
Right.
I mean, there's grass there, but it's more of a ditch and runoff. And I mean, you might be flipping some reed stems with a little bit of hyacinths like they did in 2015, but a lot of it is like flipping roots of trees and, you know, and just fishing muddy banks. So
I got a question. I got a question for you guys. So looking at the AOI standings from Lake Martin, is there any momentum that remains from the people who did well at that tournament? Or are we too far past it when we get to Sabine?
Well, the momentum is interesting because you're right. They do more or less the Classic plays into that momentum. And if they were not at the Classic, does their momentum end? Takahiro, when he's on him, you're right, Coy. When he's on him, he's dangerous. But when he's not, he seems like he's in that 70 to 80 to 90th finish. So,
Yeah, it's a good observation. Look, well, it's interesting. The first four in AOY did not fish the Classic. So Takahiro, Roy Hawk, Adrian Avena, Jared Lentner. Then you skip past Luke Clausen, who did make the Classic. Justin Lucas did not. Andy Morgan, Andy Montgomery did not. Mark Menendez did not. Jonathan Van Dam did not. Dean Rojas did not. Britt Hite
did not.
Did not. Dustin Connell did, and Ott Defoe did. So it's pretty interesting. Wow. That top 12 only has two guys that made the Classic.
Mm. And, you know, and really, we didn't even talk about Britt Hite. I mean,
I think he's.
I don't know for sure. I can't say. You're right, Coy. He's probably not a grass lake. I know there's lily pads available, which certainly adds to the frog perspective. And then that does play into the chatterbait, the vibrating jig, which then obviously says Britt Hite. Britt Hite had a terrible year last year.
Right.
And is looking to make a comeback. And this could be, I mean, I wonder how similar in his mind this will fish to, what's the lake that he won on, Seminole?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of backwater sloughs on that lake,
right?
Yeah,
there sure are.
So this could be similar to his strength. So that's a name we didn't mention. I don't know. So last question before we wrap this up, Coy. Looking at the Angler of the Year standings, I venture to say we'll see a big shakeup. Obviously, there's one tournament contributing to this list. And we've talked about this at the first podcast for the Elite Series this year. Angler of the Year shakeup, who do you see pulling into the Angler of the Year race in the top, let's say, 3, 4, or 5?
You talking end of the year?
Yeah. We're thinking Angler of the Year champion right now. Somebody's going to have to come in.
That is a tough question. I think that that's going to be completely different. I mean, somebody in this top 12 will likely be in the hunt by the end of it. I don't know that I could say Dustin Connell will be anywhere further south than he is right now. I can only see that guy getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Did really well at the first one, and that's a name we forgot to mention in this big long list of names.
He won at Ross Barnett,
right?
Absolutely, in the shallow, muddy, flipping.
Yeah, and he went up
to the grass.
He went upriver to win that tournament.
Way, I think he was the furthest one up.
Yeah,
Well, so we might have missed the ball there.
Yeah, well, I guarantee that Ronnie won't miss the ball on that one. He'll have him in his roster because he always does. So, I can see him doing really well. I don't know where Gerald Swindle ended in the first one. I'm not seeing his name as I scroll down the list. So maybe that's not. No, he's 70th place. So that's going to be tough to come back from. Not impossible. Aaron Martins did it. He would make I just like the guy. I think he'd make an incredible AOI. Let's see who else those are the two guys that I would, one of them's a smart pick. The other is an emotional pick. But I feel like Dustin Connell has got a good shot this year. Even as a sophomore, I'm a big sophomore slump believer, but he is proving quickly that is not going to be him.
It'd be an interesting record to have Rookie of the Year 1 year and Angler of the Year next.
I've got it. If you guys want to know who's going to win the AOI,
please tell me.
Let's have it, Jim.
All right, it's a guy that finished 13th in the first tournament at Lake Martin, and who then finished 6th at the Classic. And so
I think it's his year.
So it's two, the back to back tournaments here for Ott Defoe. Ott finished 13th at Lake Martin, and he finished 6th at the Classic. So I think he's an angler that's I don't know if I want to say reaching his peak, but
he's getting there.
But I think he's reaching into his full powers.
I wouldn't say peak. I don't think we're going to see a peak out of a guy like that for some time.
Yeah, I think mid 30s tends to be mid 30s to mid 40s. Maybe is a peak.
Well,
for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think Ott is primed for it. Yes. And is really close. Had a shot at the Classic, and competed well at Lake Martin. So that's. That's where I'm going right now. Mm. Be interesting.
That's genius.
Be interesting, Thomas, to have a category in fantasy fishing where at the beginning of the year you could pick one person to win AOI. You know, you'd have to have it picked before the first tournament of the year, and there's some kind of bonus points or separate prize or something like that.
I think we could probably talk about that for 2019.
That'd be pretty interesting.
All right, so I got two here for you. I'm sticking on the Justin Lucas train. I think that he is going to continue to show he's back, and he's back with a vengeance. So I think that he did well there. He's my bucket A selection for Sabine, and he is in sixth place right now. The other one I'm going to say to watch is Jared Lintner.
I think that's a good call.
I don't even know what bucket he's. Is he had, it would be bucket A, I would guess.
So he finished fourth at Martin. So
He's in bucket A right now.
I agree with that. I think that's a really interesting pick.
We'll see.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, he's got a really nice family. I got to meet his wife at Lake Martin and his
great
son.
Great dude, and, great angler, and a great mustache as well. I mean,
that's a good point.
You think about that, Shaw Grigsby. Also has a great mustache. I know we're getting off topic here, but that's important. Man's mustache is
well,
important.
And Jared's finish last year. I don't remember where it was. It was whether it was his upper 70s or it was 80 or something like that. But he was really, really disappointed and wrote some good columns for us on Bassmaster.com that talked about that and what he was going to change. And the thing that he focused on, he said last year he paid attention a little bit too much to doc talk about what was hot and what was working as opposed to sticking with his strengths.
And that's exactly what he did at Lake Martin.
And he did at Lake Martin. He stuck with his strengths. And he said that was his off-season program, was to get him to do that.
Well, it's interesting. It's already shaping up to be an interesting season. We have an exciting tournament coming up that I know is definitely not going to be easy for
Hey, there's one more thing I want to say here to kind of just work this in is that the guy that's in seventh place in AOY is Andy Montgomery. And I just want to throw a shout out to Andy and his family.
Yes.
Andy's father passed away last week on the Wednesday before the Classic, Chuck Montgomery, or I believe he was officially Charles. But he passed away young and kind of suddenly. It was unexpected. And our thoughts and prayers are with Andy and his family.
Well, guys, this has been fun. We've analyzed and we have come up with a lot of garbage that people will probably listen to and mess up their fantasy fishing teams with. But, hey, that's half the fun of this. So we appreciate you being here. Coy, thanks for being here. Jim, this is Thomas Allen. You've been listening to Inside Bassmaster. We talk fantasy today. And maybe next time we'll get another angler in here. Thanks for being here. Dinosaur.